It is a joy and a privilege to invite our guest this morning, Carol Rawley from Cambridge, who is co-leads New Life Church. And she's someone that Anna and I have known for many years, but just recently we've had a fresh connection with Carol and her husband, Ian. And they are just wonderfully amazing leaders over in Cambridge, and it's been a joy to connect with them, and I'm just so keen for them to come and minister to us. So Carol hopefully is at the first fruits. I'm hoping to get Ian along at some point, and some of that other amazing Bible teachers and team members that they've got to input us as we're kind of exchanging blessing to them as well in exploring fresh relationships. So without further ado, Carol, please could you come and share from James with us? And Carol's going to be sharing from James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4. Thank you.
Well, hi, everybody. Thank you for having me. It's just so lovely to come up the road. I'm not very far away in Cambridge. It's a few minutes, and come and see you. The last time I was here was quite a long time ago, wasn't it? And your room has been completely transformed. It's this beautiful floor and new chairs, and it's just lovely. So thank you for having me. I'm going to be starting the series right from the beginning, James 1. And I've entitled it Faith That Will Last, because that is what this little portion from verse 2 to 4 is all about. That God wants us to have faith for the long haul. It's lovely. When I became Christian at age 15, it was wonderful, you know, that wonderful feeling when you become a Christian and you just connect with God for the first time, and your faith is like soaring and high and strong, and you're just captured. I remember just dancing around just because I was just so joyful. But then, you know, that was over 40 years ago now. That was a long time. So I was 15, so you can kind of work out now what my age is. I just had a birthday last week. So, that was over 40 years ago. And yet we can't just stay on that kind of fizzy high of first coming to know Jesus. We need faith that's going to last the long haul. And this is what this passage is about. So do you want to get your Bibles out or your apps? Have you got Bible apps on your phone? And go to James 1. And it's a very familiar passage. I've got it up here as well. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And as you probably heard from last week, although I didn't hear Richard's word, this book, James, is written to Christians in that world that have been scattered, and suffering was part of their life, their everyday, ordinary life. So he's speaking to people who are suffering and being persecuted. It was the norm. But today we're going to look at three things from this passage. Joy, trials, and perseverance. So let's start with joy. There we are. I've got three images for you today, which really speak to me of what joy really is. It's very different to happiness. And we all know what happy feelings are. Something happens, like we get a space in the car park when you're driving in, and God, please give me a space. And you find a space that's free, and you're like, oh yeah, really happy. That buzzy kind of, you know, grateful, like, little thing that happens, an event, maybe a person makes you happy, it may be something that happens just in your day, but this isn't what we're talking about today. We're talking about joy, and I want to try and give you the difference between joy and happiness. So happiness is a feeling. It depends on something or something happening around you. It's transient, it doesn't last. And it's lovely when we have lots of happy events and lots of happy feelings, but they are transient. Joy is different. It is a state of mind. It is something that comes from the very guts of your being. And when we become Christians, God gives us the gift of joy. It's a gift to us. It's that deep down inner gladness, an inner strength, an inner well, if you like. The Bible talks about a wellspring of joy in Psalms. And it's like you imagine a well full of water, and there we are. There's the spring coming up. It's the source of joy, the source. The Greek word is chara. It means this inner gladness. It means being aware of God's grace and his favor towards us. That's what joy is. So this is one image. It's like a source of the spring. And in Psalm 87, it says, all my springs of joy are in you. This is the second image that I really like to explain joy. And it's of a vine. You know, in John 15, Jesus talks about being the vine, the true vine. Do you remember? And we are the branches. So here's a picture of the branch. We've got the vine that we're connected. The branches are connected. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine. And then fruit comes from our lives. And the key to maintaining joy in the middle of trials and testings is that we stay connected to Jesus. We stay connected to the branch needs to be connected to the vine for life. And it's the same when we're going through tough stuff, which is what, again, this passage is all about, is when we have those trials and difficulties in our life. If we don't stay connected to Jesus, that's when things can go awry and be really difficult in our lives. So let me just give you an example of this in my own life. So this was a number of years ago, and I was going through a really, really tough time, probably, you know, 15 years ago or so, when relationships in my life were really, really difficult. And people I thought I was really closely good friends with, suddenly it felt like they turned their back. And so for me, I was in real deep sadness and deep sadness and grief, I'd explain it like that. I'd lost these friends. And so one of the things I had to do around that time was find a job. And I was praying to God, and I was saying, God, I need a new job. You know, I need to get some money into the family, help pay the bills. And I went for a teaching job because I was a primary school teacher at that time. And I was praying. I think, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this interview. I got an interview. I don't know how I'm going to do it because I really am so sad. I don't know if any of my life or joy or anything like that, it feels like it's all gone, is going to come out in the interview. And let me just say, when I was 15 and became a Christian, part of my story and my testimony was that I'd given my life to Jesus, and I was at boarding school, and I was in the dormitory, and all the beds in a row. In the olden days, it was like that. And we were all in a row, and I prayed in the night, God, I want you as Lord of my life. And when I woke up in the morning, you know, I've just got up and got dressed, and all the girls in the dormitory said to me, what's happened to you? What's happened to you, Carol? And I go, what do you mean, what's happened to me? And they said, you've got a smile on your face. Like, it's never been there before. There's something different about you. They noticed it immediately. So part of my testimony has always been that I've got a smile in God, you know, on my face. But at that really difficult time, that was 15 years ago, I said, God, I've lost my smile. I am so sad I've even lost my smile. And the Holy Spirit, I just absolutely adore the Holy Spirit. He's wonderful, amazing, powerful. The Holy Spirit just whispered in my ear, don't worry, Carol, I'll lend you my smile. And so when I talk about the connection, you know, we just need to stay connected. So I went for the interview. Went through all the process, met lots of people in the school, and I got the job. Then I started the job, really, you know, enjoyed it. It was a really great school. And one day, it was a few months later, we were in the staff room, and one of the teachers said to me, oh, I remember. Do you remember when you came for an interview? do you remember, you know, it's, you know, you think like you've been here forever now, but do you remember when you came for interview? I said, yes, I do. I remember that day very well. And they said, well, the thing that really stood out to me on that day, all I can remember about it, was your amazing smile. And something hit me at that point. I thought, God, that's your smile they saw. That was yours, Holy Spirit. You said you'd lend me your smile, and I had nothing in me at all that could smile. Wow, God, you're so powerful. Holy Spirit, you're amazing. You can change anything in our lives, no matter how we are feeling, in our circumstances, in the stuff we face. And we all have these trials. We all have things that go wrong. We all have difficulties. We all have challenges. And sometimes they like all come at once, it feels like sometimes, doesn't it? But the Holy Spirit can change us and connect. That's why the story about connected to the vine. As we remain in Jesus, we remain connected to him through the trials. His life will flow through us for others to see. And that's what happened with me. The Holy Spirit gave me his smile that could be seen by others. So that's my second image. This is the scripture that I was just speaking about, John 15. I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience, that's Jesus talking, the joy in him will fill your hearts, will fill my heart with overflowing gladness. So staying connected to Jesus through trials and difficulties is essential. And I'll talk a little bit about more how we do that. But let's let his joy flow through us at those difficult times. Jesus wants to be central to our lives. The number one Lord of our life. When I work with young people, I've been working with youth for 15 years, maybe more than that over the years. And one of the things I say when they are starting to make thoughts about giving their lives to Jesus for the first time, I say, are you prepared to let him come into the driving seat of your life? Imagine your life's a car, and you know you're driving it. Are you prepared to give him the steering wheel now and become Lord? That's what it means to become Lord. Jesus wants to be central into everything we do. He's not an add-on. He's not a hobby. He's not a club that we join along with the aerobics or the flying club or the running club. He's central to everything. Our life revolves around him. That's what connection to the vine means. His life streams and flows through us. So this is my third image of joy that might help you understand the difference between joy and happiness. There we got a tree with deep roots, healthy tree. So happiness, happy things, will be at the top, like a few leaves, happy things that happen and we feel happy. Joy comes from the roots. Joy is down here. This is what I talk about, the source. Joy of knowing Jesus. The joy of his working in our lives. The joy of being connected with our Savior, the one we worship, adore, honor. The one who transforms our lives. That's where our joy comes from the roots, and then the happiness, happy things happen, other like the leaves. So joy is all about a root heart issue. Joy, that's where we're connected to, connected to Jesus. And our roots in God need to get stronger. It's all about our faith. When we first come to know Jesus, our roots are starting to go down into his word. They may be more superficial. But as we walk with him over the months and the years, and it doesn't have to take very long for roots to go deep. You know, don't have to be a Christian for 40 or 50 years to now say, I've got deep roots. God can do things in us quickly, you know. God gave me my first leadership position when I was 19 years old. I was 15 when I gave my life to Jesus. 19, I was made... What was the name? My pastor asked me to be the care coordinator for my home group. I loved that job, and now I'm a pastor. It's like definitely, you know, shaping me in my gift area. And my job was to go around all the people in my home group, and I had lots of elderly people in my home group, and visit them. And I was a student at the time. I was doing a degree in the city that I was living in, and I just used to love it. And I'd take time out from the day, because I was a bit flexible being a student, and I could go around, have cups of tea and cake, homemade cake, with lots of elderly people. And they showered me with blessing. I definitely got more out of it than they got from my visit, definitely, in them praying for me, encouraging me. And then when I started on a Sunday morning, started to step out in sharing prophetic gifts, it was really nerve-wracking, but I really was seeking God. I want to prophesy, Lord. I want to have visions. I want to see people, you know, change with what you're saying on a Sunday. And I started to step out in that. And those, particularly elderly ladies, would be the ones that would come and encourage me at the end of the meeting when I'd be thinking, oh, I hope that was okay. You know, no one else would say anything. But those elderly ladies were the ones who came and encouraged me and strengthened me. I don't quite know why I got onto that. But we don't have to have a long time in our lives for our roots to go deep. That's what I was saying. Okay, so don't feel you have to be a Christian for years and years and years for our roots to go deep. What we need to do is to dig into his word, allow his word to become part of our lives, to eat it, digest it, make it part of us. That's what helps our roots go deep. And it speaks about that in Psalm 1, about a tree flourishing by streams of water is the one who delights in the word of God. So joy comes from deep within. So that's about joy. Let's think now about these trials that this comes from in this passage. So here we are. This is 2 Corinthians 12. This is Paul speaking. You know, the Apostle Paul, who experienced tons of trials and hardships and shipwrecks and beatings and imprisonments. And, you know, he knew what he was talking about when it came to trials. So he says, the Lord said to him when he's saying, God, it would be really nice if you could take this away from me. He was experiencing this trouble in his own life. We think probably from the commentaries it's a health issue. He talks about a thorn in the flesh. And he's saying, God, can't you take this away from me? I'd be, you know, be lovely if you could. And the Lord said to him, my grace is always more than enough for you. And my power finds its full expression through your weakness. You know, it's okay to be weak as a Christian. It's okay. I give you permission. Well, the Bible gives you permission to be weak. Because in our weakness is when we come to God for his strength. Like I did on that interview day when I said, I've got nothing in me that is can, you know, really be good for this school. I felt so sad and down. I didn't want that to come across. And the Holy Spirit filled me with his strength, with his power to be able to go through that and get the job. So God's grace is always more than enough. Okay? Not sometimes. It's always more than enough. And the image that I have, again, of this, these trials, is like, you imagine the stream, you know, coming from the source, flowing down into a river, and the trials are like boulders kind of put in the stream, don't you think? It's a good image of what trials are like. It's how I picture it anyway. So a boulder comes and suddenly gets like slammed in the middle of your life. A trial, a difficulty, a challenge. And that happened to me last year, and some of you might well know my story. I got cancer, diagnosed with cancer October 2017. I got diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And up to that point, I'd been fit and healthy. In fact, I'd probably been the most healthy I'd ever been. I was eating well, you know, healthily, lots of vegetables and all the stuff that you eat, and meat and fruit and all of that. Healthy diet. I was exercising. I was running 10Ks and half marathons and really fit and strong. My body felt really strong. And then suddenly, out of the blue, the doctor's telling me, you've got ovarian cancer, stage 3. Like, what? Where did that come from? It's like this massive boulder just being slammed right into the middle of my life. And I was going, God, I don't know what's happening right now. We're busy and I haven't got time to get cancer. This is crazy. You know, I've got things to do. We're building the church and I've got people to see and I've got a job. I'm now a counselor. I retrained from a teacher to be a counselor. I work with young people. I've got too much to do to have cancer. But it's like this big boulder was like smashed into the middle of my life. And I had to dig into the source, that source of joy again. I say, God, I love that verse in the Bible, Lord, where you say, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I need strength right now. I need your strength. I need physical strength. I need emotional strength. I need spiritual strength. I am not going to get through this without it. And I was crying out to God in the car. And because I got the diagnosis, I was on my own. My husband was over in America. I thought I was just going to go to the doctor and get a scan. And they were going to give me some antibiotics for some infection. So I wasn't even bothered about the appointment. I didn't even go with a friend. I was driving home and I was crying out to God. You are going to have to come through. Now. I'm being knocked sideways here, but God, I'm going to dig into your strength because I've seen you do it before in my life. I know you can do it again. And that's a real key for when you face trials, is really remember how God has met you before and have a grateful and thankful heart. Lord, you are amazing. I thank you for when you did that. I thank you for when you did that. I thank you for when you did that. I remember you coming through for me there. I remember you coming and answering that prayer. God, you can do it again. And I needed God to do it again in a big, big way. So I've been through chemotherapy. I went straight into heavy chemotherapy, aggressive chemotherapy, I'd say. And I don't know if anyone here has been through chemo, but it is brutal. I think that is the word. I know Jean has. And it's lovely to talk to you last week about it. Yeah, so, and she's great, encouraging me on my journey. But it's brutal. It hits you like, it's toxic. And it is brilliant in killing the cancer cells, but it also kills a lot of other things in your body that are really healthy. And that isn't so good. Then I had a huge surgery, a massive surgery, where the doctors were saying, this is going to really hurt. You might be in intensive care for a little bit. You'll be okay. You know, you're pretty healthy and strong. Went through the surgery. I was pretty scary. But God was right with me. Every stage, whether it was going in the chemo unit to have be plugged into the IV, or whether it was in the surgery and going through all of that, God was with me. And I cried out to him, God, I need your strength. Let your joy sustain me, the joy of knowing you. You know, and when you face cancer, it is life and death. So you are facing imminent death if it doesn't work. And so that's another thing that's really, you do have to kind of talk to the Lord about, and maybe some of you have experienced that too, in kind of life-death things. You do have to talk to the Lord about, and my friend who'd actually been through cancer before me, she gave me a great word of advice, which I use, and I want to pass this on to you, not about cancer, but anything in your life. When you find yourself, Carol, staring into the abyss, and you will, into the darkness, and, you know, this is scary stuff. I want you to take 2 steps back from the edge of the cliff, and I want you to look up into God's face. And you know what? I use that over and over and over again. So suddenly, usually in the nighttime, I'd be laying there, no one around, just on my own. Obviously, everyone else in the house is asleep. And you kind of think, okay, what's going to happen to me now? You know, am I coming to heaven yet, Lord? I don't really want to go yet. I would quite like to stay here a bit longer. But, you know, staring into the abyss, fear kind of crowding in, anxiety, what am I going to go through? And I said, no, God, I want to take two steps back. I want to look up into your face. And that's what I want to pass on to you today. If ever you find yourself being plagued with anxiety, fear, grief, sadness, whatever it is that you're facing, despair even, I want you to take two steps back and look up into the face of God. And that means you connect with him again. You need to keep that connection. The enemy does not want you connected with God. He wants to separate you. That is his plan, especially in times of trials, temptations, difficulties. If he can separate you from the life of God, he's done a good job, you know? So what we need to do as children of God, as his sons and daughters, keep connected with him. So when I look up into his face, I go, God, let me see you. I want to worship you. And I put on some worship music in my earplugs and just listen and worship him, you know? And the peace of God would just come and fill my heart. So let me pass that little tip on to you. Now, thirdly, we're going to go, this last bit is perseverance. So the point of James talking about this was that when we face trials and difficulties in our lives, yes, we want to keep that joy, you know, keep connected to Jesus, keep connected to the joy of knowing him. But it's for a purpose. Our faith will get stronger. It's not going to get weaker. As we persevere, it's going to get stronger. And this lovely analogy here in Hebrews 12 is of running a marathon. So as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us. This is Hebrews 12. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. In case you're wondering, this is the Passion Translation, which I'm really enjoying right now. It's a great new one that's out. His example is this, and we're talking about Jesus, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Because Jesus' heart was focused on this joy of knowing that we would be his, he was able to go through the cross, that torturous, agonizing execution experience. And this is speaking to me, and I've run half marathons. Training is really difficult and it's hard. You have to. Have anyone else done a really long run? Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? Yeah. But it makes us stronger. So my body was ready through the training, the difficulties, the challenges of training, to be able to run the long haul race. And it's the same for us spiritually. When we go through difficulties and the trials and we reach to God and we focus on him and we draw on his strength and we allow that joy of knowing him just give us the strength to come through, our faith gets stronger. It does not diminish. It gets stronger and he fills us with his power. So my question in just finishing now is, what are our hearts focused on through the trials of life? Just like Jesus was focused on the fact that he was going to connect us back with God in going through the cross, essentially what he did, what are we focusing our hearts on through trials? Is it the joy of knowing that you're his son or his daughter? Is it the joy of knowing that I'm forgiven? Is it the joy of knowing he loves me? And he cares about me, and that love will never, ever, ever go away. Is it that joy of knowing that he's never going to leave me or forsake me? What is it that keeps you going through trials and difficulties? And I want to encourage you, and I'm going to pray in a minute, that you will have something in your heart. It may be the joy of leading others to Jesus. like Tim's been talking about with Alpha, the joy of knowing that we're sharing a life-giving, transforming gospel message that will change lives. That's the joy of knowing that gets us up in the morning. It certainly gets me up in the morning as a pastor. I love being able to share Jesus with people who have no idea who Jesus is even sometimes, you know, or they've heard funny things about it. You know, sharing and praying with people to give their lives to Jesus. We just had a youth weekend away in January, and two of our young people gave their lives to Jesus for the first time. You know, to be able to pray with them to do that, that's the joy of being able to do that. That's what keeps me going. I love it. And it may be that for you as well. The joy of caring for people, that keeps you going. It keeps you up. You know, keep pressing into God for more strength, more of Him, more of His power at work in you. So what is it that your heart is focused on through the trials of life? So I want to just say, the enemy's plan is to separate you from God. God's plan is you stay connected. Connected, and through those trials and difficulties that we go through then, His life will constantly flow through you and strengthen your faith, not weaken it. So can I just pray for you? Can I ask you to stand? Holy Spirit, just come. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love being in your presence. You're powerful. You're all powerful. You are the God of miracles, as we've been singing this morning. I stand here as a miraculous touch, as someone who's had a miraculous touch from you, healing my body. Thank you, God. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill everybody here afresh as we reach out to you from the depths of our hearts. Lord, I pray, come, Holy Spirit, and fill each one afresh, just as they need it. Every single one of us. Fill each one of us. Lord, I pray for those who are hurting right now. I pray for those who are suffering right now, who feel in despair, feel lost. Holy Spirit, come and fill them with your peace. Fill them, God, with your comfort. Fill them just deep, deep down with your healing power that heals broken hearts. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, for those of us who may be facing fearful things that causes anxiety and distraction from you, Lord, I just pray, baptize each one with a sense of your love. Perfect love casts out fear. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill each one with your love, your powerful love that casts out all fear. Let that knowledge of knowing you love them fill them right now to overflowing. Let that wellspring of joy bubble up within, Lord, knowing that they're loved and treasured and adored by you. That they are your precious son, your precious daughter. You are their good father who loves them. Let that bubble up inside, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.